All right, so today I want to talk about a foundational truth from the Bible as far as what is our purpose of life and why we're here. And so this sermon is about glorifying God. So a lot of people have this, especially in the world, and they think, like, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? But we as Christians in the Bible, we have it laid out for us. God tells us what our purpose is. And that purpose is to glorify God. We exist for God's glory and not our own. The first thing I want to point to, the very last verse in this chapter, it says, "For thy pleasure they are and were created." So we are created for God's pleasure. God made us for him and his glory and his pleasure. And this is the 24 elders, and they're bound before God and so forth. And this is they're perfect. They are no longer, there's no sin in them. They're the flesh is gone. And the Bible says that for God's pleasure we were created. Now if you turn to Isaiah chapter 43, so the Bible is God's story. It's about him and what Christ did for us. It's not about us. It's about what he did for us, how Jesus came and paid for our sins. That is the theme of the Bible. That is the important message that God has given to us. So if you look at Isaiah 43 verse 7, this is talking to Isaiah. It says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So this reminds me when Jesus says, not my will, but thine be done, talking to the Father. So we exist for God's glory, to do his will. We don't exist for our glory. We don't exist to make ourselves great or do good or just to puff ourselves up or make ourselves really better. It's really to do God's will and exist for his glory. So again, I'm going to read to you in Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. It says, in the very deeds for this cause I raise thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. So why was Moses there? To show God's power and declare his name throughout all the earth. That's why these events and the miracles that God did them. To show who he is and have his glory among the nations. It wasn't about anyone. It wasn't even about Moses. It was about God's glory being shown throughout the whole earth. So you must always keep that in mind. Our purpose in life is not about, it's not about us. It's about God. It's not about fulfilling our own life, our own dreams and desires. It's really about God and his plan for us. And we're living in his story, and we can choose to play a part in that. So if you turn to Joshua chapter 5, because a lot of people might say, you know, how do I get God on my side? And there's obviously you want God on your side. But in another sense, that's really the wrong question. The question is, the question really should be, it's not about you getting God on your side, but you getting on God's side. Because I want to show you this verse in Joshua, chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. So this is Joshua, and it's an Old Testament appearing of Jesus. And he appears to him, right? And he says right here, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? So Joshua is coming to me, he says, are you for us or for adversaries? And this is Jesus really saying, nay. That's not the answer. He says nay. So it's not about us. It's not about God necessarily being for us or against us, but us being for God. And that's where the true fulfillment will come. So my first point is this, that we exist for God's glory and not our own. That's our existence. That's our purpose. So that's very important that you understand this foundational stuff. Now, the next thing I want to point is point number two, is that we glorify God by obeying him. So I laid three different ways we can glorify God. And the first is with our speech, especially praising God or thanking God. If you go to Luke 17, because when we praise God and we thank God, we're giving glory to him. We're praising him. We're lifting him up. That's what glory is. Think of what glory means. You know, when somebody goes out and they want to, you know, get a bunch of glory, when somebody goes a conqueror and you know, men who have done very glorious deeds, right, throughout this earth. Well, we're here to give God the glory, and that's our purpose. So it says right here in Luke 17 about this miracle, and they lifted up their voice, 17:13-18. And he said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when they saw them, he said unto them, go show thyself to the priest. And it came to pass that they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. So you can glorify God by praising him and thanking him, right? That's by definition. That's what glorifying would be. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? For there are not found returned to give glory, save this stranger. So again, if you want to give glory to God, it's by praising him and thanking him. It's by singing to him as we do before services. It's by speaking well of him and magnifying him amongst men and giving him thanks for all the good things that he does for us. So that's one great way to glorify God with our speech in that regard. The second way to glorify God, if you turn to Matthew 5, verse 14, is with your good works. Your good works and obeying him, it glorifies God. So I'm going to read from Matthew 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but unto a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So first thing, we have this metaphor that you are the light of the world. So, and the Bible says also that you are a city on a hill. Now, these are two things that are meant to be seen. You are meant to see, like the light gives light so you can see everything around you, and you can know where to step, you know where to walk, and you're not blind in darkness, right? That's why light is there, has a purpose. The city on a hill has a purpose, right? So example, you know, why do you have a city on a hill? Really, it's because you want to defend your city. But also is there to be seen amongst men. That's those two reasons we're there. So that's, and another example I thought about in modern day is like, you know, when I'll think about today, like street signs. When you go driving, these are things meant to be seen and they have a purpose. But I want to contrast that with something that's meant to be seen but does not have a purpose. The thing I was thinking of is like art, like museum art. You just go out and you look at it, but it doesn't really have a purpose, really, per se. You just look at it and get some self-gratification, but it's not really doing any good. So that's the contrary. We're meant to be seen with a purpose. These are the metaphors that God gives us in the Bible. So another way to glorify God, the final way that I laid out here of the three ways, is by soul winning, which is obviously a type of good works, but it's specifically soul winning. So if you go to John 15, verse 8, I'm going to read to you Psalm 21, verse 4 and 5, or verse 4. It says right here, His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty thou hast laid upon him. So God's glory is great in his salvation. If you want to glorify God, proclaim his salvation. Preach it. Show how to people how to be saved. That's why we're here today. Today is we can glorify God and show him, or show other people how to be saved and glorify him with our speech is what we're doing. So that's a very important thing. And that's why we're here today. Because remember, today we want to glorify God with soul winning. And that's why we're here. We want people saved. We want to do that. So the Bible says in John 15, verse 8, Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So if you want to glorify God, which again is your purpose, is why God created you, you bear much fruit. All right? That's how you glorify God. And again, what is fruit in the Bible? I mean, the fruit can be, we talk about different subjects, but as far as the context right here, fruit, we're talking about the fruit of a Christian is another Christian, right? The Bible says you're going to bring forth after their own kind. That's how God created the whole earth. So if I'm a Christian, my fruit would be another Christian. That's soul winning. That's preaching the gospel. So how would you glorify God? By bringing forth much fruit, winning many souls, doing many good things as far as good works, and by praising him and thanking him. These are three great ways to glorify God. When you go out and you win souls, when you go out on these mission trips, when you go out into with your church and you have a soul winning time, that glorifies God. That's what we should be doing. And you say, well, what do I do with my life? You focus on glorifying God, and then you will be blessed. So that's why you have our first thing is our purpose in life is to glorify him, and that's period. That's what we're here for. Second is there's three great ways to glorify him. How we speak of him, by praising him, speaking well of him, by good works, and by soul winning. And the last point I want to make is in Luke 17, verse 33, if you turn there. The last point I make is that really serving God is worth it. Because you may think, well, if I focus on God, but what about my desires? What about all the good things I want? You know, what about accomplishing all the desires I want? Now, I'm not saying don't seek and work hard to your goals. We should always work hard and accomplish things and receive things in this life. But priority is to glorify God. That's the essence of why we're here. Luke 17:33, whosoever shall seek his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. So it's ironic in the Bible. If you want to save your life and you don't have the best life that God has for you, you must lose it You must give it up for the gospel's sake and for the kingdom of heaven. You must give it up for live your life for God and doing His will. That's how you save it. That's how you get all the blessings that God would have for you. So if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for Christ's sake, you will get all the blessings that God has, which is greater than anything you could have ever wanted or anything you ever could have even asked for. Because God's will is greater than we can even comprehend, because it's eternal and there's only blessings that will come throughout eternity. So that's why it's very ironic, and I just want to put that message down. I want to harp on this message that your purpose in life is to glorify God. I want you to get that and remember that. It's not really all about yourself, which is obviously we all are selfish at times. I understand that. But your number one priority is to glorify God, and then you ask of how do you do it? And the Bible lays out the three great ways to do it, which it specifically says these ways glorify God, as it talks about in Matthew and so forth. So again, that's the message I want to say. I want you to know why you're here. Why am I soul winning? Why do I go to church? Why do I sacrifice? Some people are driving an hour and a half to church. That takes some sacrifice to do. And there's people have sacrificed all throughout history for God, and that's why we're here. So I don't want to lay that point, and let's pray right now. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this time to go soul winning. Please help us glorify you in our lives and in all of our works and how we speak of you and all the soul winning we do. Thank you for all the blessings in the Bible for teaching us, and thank you for this for giving us opportunity and allowing us to preach in America where there's opportunity. So thank you and amen in Jesus' name. So.
All right, turn your pages to 377. 377, Rescue the Perishing. Rescue the Perishing on the first.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We for the erring ones lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Though they are sighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, he will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, do he demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save.
Amen. Great singing.